Welcome. Don Green joins us today. He's a professor of political science at Columbia University and a leading expert in designing and implementing randomized experiments. He's the co-author of a new study published in the policy journal JPAM that examines the question, can text messages be a useful and effective way for public agencies to communicate with citizens, as opposed to more traditional methods such as letters? More broadly, though, the study provides an example of the way governments at the state, local, or federal levels can use rapid and low-cost experiments to pilot new innovations and rigorously test if they work. Don, welcome.
My pleasure to be here.
I want to give our listeners a preview of the story. The British government, this is just a couple years ago, decides that it wants to do a better job at collecting fines from citizens who owe them. Since there's an estimated £600 million in delinquent fines, that's about $1 billion US. So the agency that collects the fines, called Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunals, reaches out to the Behavioral Insights team within the British government for help. Start us off by telling us about that team.
The Behavioral Insights team was founded in the government of the UK in order to increase administrative efficiency. And what's kind of interesting about it is that it is a blend of people who think about experimental economics, behavioral economics, but also about public policy. And their idea is to work with government agencies in order to improve their efficiency.
So staff from the agency, Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunals, asked the Behavioral Insights team for help in improving the efficiency of their communications with citizens, particularly those who owe these fines. And what was the next step?
The Behavioral Insights team invited a group of people who were on an academic advisory panel to join them in thinking about how to improve efficiency. And one of the ways that we came up with was to switch from conventional mail to text messaging.
I think it's worth noting that if people who owe these fines ignore the letters or other communications from Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunals, their cases are then referred to what's called the bailiff system, and that's not as customer friendly. So one of the goals of this project of improving communications is to help more people avoid that next step. Tell us briefly about the bailiff system.
The bailiff system is kind of a rough justice system. It's a privatized group of people who essentially repossess property. And if, for example, you were to owe £100 in delinquent fines, they might come into your house and seize £1,000 worth of goods, sell them at auction, pay the court £100, and keep the rest in costs. And so it's not a happy picture for people who owe delinquent fines and reach what was called distress warrant status. And that's why, in some sense, encouraging people to pay through text messaging or any other means spares them from the bailiffs.
So the experiment takes place. This is 2012. And I want to briefly summarize the study design for our listeners as I understand it. People who owe fines and have already received a letter asking them to pay are randomly assigned to different groups. For our listeners, think of this like a drug trial where people get a placebo or a treatment. One group gets nothing more, no additional reminders. Another group gets a text message to their phones that says, and let me quote, "You have not paid your fine, pay immediately, or a warrant will be issued to the bailiffs. Call this number," and it also gives a case number. A third group gets that same text message, except that it starts with their names, "Andy, you have not paid your fine," and so on. And a fourth group gets a text message that not only includes their names, but also the amount they owe. "Andy, you have not paid your fine of £200," and so on. So several thousand people are randomly assigned to these various groups, and then the outcome is tracked. In this case, the outcome is whether they paid their fine within a week before their case is referred to the bailiffs. Tell us, Don, about which communication approach turned out to be the most effective in terms of getting people to pay.
Well, what's quite interesting is that text messaging isn't automatically effective. People could ignore it, I suppose, but much to our surprise, we were quite pleased to see this, the personal message seemed to work best, the one that did not mention the amount, but rather simply referred to the person by name. When we look at the amount that people paid when they received that text message, it was substantially greater than the standard message and substantially greater than nothing at all. It even outdistanced the message that included both the amount and personalization of the name, suggesting that the amount is a rather aversive thing to include in a message.
Okay, so to recap, the findings clearly showed that sending a text message was an effective approach. In fact, I saw that it boosted the average amount paid in fines by 145%. But then when you looked within the different versions of the text messages, personalization of the message, in other words, including the person's name, was the approach that most enhanced the effectiveness of the communication. So given that governments at all levels, local, state, federal, send out a lot of communications to citizens each year, that insight about personalization could potentially help improve a lot of those communications.
Absolutely. And I think that there is a lot to be said for personalization because it signals a number of things that might contribute to cooperation. First of all, it's friendly. But secondly, it grabs attention. People are very responsive to the mention of their name. And thirdly, it signals that the government has it together enough to refer to them by name as opposed to sending a generic message to everybody.
Yeah. Final question, Don. We often think about randomized control trials as expensive and sometimes long-term studies, often of social programs. But your study highlights an example of experimentation and the use of random assignment to examine operational questions that can be done quickly and at very low cost. I realize this is only one study, but generalize for me, if you would, about what the study implies about the benefits of trying out new approaches in government and testing those approaches using rigorous methods like random assignment.
What I like about this study is that it shows that if you have a relatively focused question, you want to, say, collect delinquent fines, and you have an operation set up to do it, perhaps in administrative agencies at local, state, county, federal level, you name it, you can always do better than your current arrangement by trying different things and conducting a tournament, in effect, of all the best ideas. And what I liked about this trial was that it was a so-called adaptive trial. We started off with 4 different ideas, and then we narrowed it down. And I think that this general model of doing something in very, very real time, I mean, this whole thing from beginning to end was only a few months long, so that you could get an answer that you could put into action very quickly is very attractive.
And relatively low cost.
Very low cost, because essentially it meant that as long as the administrators are willing to put up with an academic advisory team insisting that they randomize what messages were sent to whom, they were going to get a fairly useful answer fairly quickly.
We'll end this portion of the interview here, but our conversation will continue. I'm going to ask Don to speak about the potential for public managers and leaders to work more closely with academics to design and test operational improvements like the ones we discussed today. And I'll post his answer to the blog. But for now, Donald Green of Columbia University, thank you and your co-authors for a very useful study and for sharing with us some of the highlights of it today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.